The sun burned into Stillwater's back as he and White Ash rested in a protected hollow that lay between pale square boulders that had broken off from the sandstone caprock above. Stillwater rolled off White Ash and onto his back. He stared up at the patchy clouds that sailed so easily across the sky. The breeze tickled his flushed skin.
We shouldn't be doing this. Singing Stone says that coupling distracts us from dreaming.
Stillwater resettled his head and admired her. Perspiration left her brown skin shining in the bright sun. Droplets, the mingling of his and her sweat, sparkled in the light. He reveled in the sight of her perfect body. Her firm muscles had gone lax after the passion of their coupling. He reached over and traced a finger along the swell of her hip, circling the dampness of her navel, his hand rising to cup her full breast. A deep contentment swelled within his soul.
We could stop.
She met his questioning gaze. For a moment, he seemed to sink into the brown softness of her eyes. The sun accented the delicate hollow of her cheek.
I don't want to.
Peace drifted through his spent body.
I know dreamers aren't supposed to couple, and not just Singing Stone says so.
I don't care. I love you too much. Moments like these fill a need in my soul.
She lifted a hand to rub her brow.
I know I'm gonna have to give up so much of myself. I refuse to give you up, too. If I can't love and dream, then I won't dream.
Power has its price.
And I have mine.
They lay in silence for a moment.
Even if I have to be the bridge between worlds, I won't give you up. Pao wouldn't have sent you to me otherwise. Maybe that's part of it.
Maybe. But Pao discards its tools after it uses them. Perhaps it will discard me.
You can't.
Oh? Do you know something about Pao that I don't?
You're the keeper of the wolf bundle now. Besides that, I need you.
He glanced over his shoulder at the pack that held the wolf bundle. He went nowhere without it.
I guess I am.
What?
I was thinking about how I've changed. The person who was Bad Belly is gone. I'm not the same man I was when I lived at Round Rock. I've become someone different. The wolf bundle, it changes a person. I am what it is, and it's become a part of me.
I know.
I feel the wolf bundle. It tugs at me all the time. Knowing it's close fills something in my soul that was once empty. And I never knew it was gone. Do you understand?
She squeezed his hand where it lay on her breast.
My love for you is that way. I never knew love could be so rich and full. What I once thought was love has turned out to be a hollow skin, like the one in insect sheds. It looks whole on the outside, but when you crack it open, there's nothing there.
Then perhaps you and I must learn to dream together.
She stared up at the sky.
I wish I knew, Stillwater. It took Singing Stones years to learn how to dream. The wolf bundle changed him, too. If his visions are right, I don't have time to learn the way to the One. I can feel the One even now. It touches the edge of my soul. Singing Stones has taught me how to clear my mind, to hear and see nothing. I'm learning about myself, about how to slip past the illusion, but I can do it only a bit at a time. I feel like an infant learning how to be a human being. There's so much. I have to learn to talk and walk and how to act. I have to stand against Brave Man again, but he's a warrior and I'm only a small child.
Power won't abandon us. We just have to try harder.
I know. I will. But sometimes I can almost feel failure coming. And if it does, nothing that's happened to me in the past will compare to what's coming. Brave Man will...
She twisted her head the other way. Stillwater's stomach knotted.
The worst part is, I keep dreaming of what will happen if we don't stop him. Last night, I flew over tens of people. More people than there are grass blades. They all looked up at me with misery in their eyes. Their souls cried out and they reached up as if I could save them. How can I save them? I don't even know how to save us.
Gray Needle traveled with a sickness in her soul. Memories of the horror in Little Toe's eyes lurked inside her as she walked. Her husband's strained expression was reflected in the faces of the others. Horror hung over Badwater Clan like the shimmering of bloodthirsty mosquitoes. The clan had ties with Three Forks through Little Toe. No one had been able to say who had killed Blackhand, but the serpent's head of suspicion fixed itself on Three Forks. If Three Forks Clan harbored the abomination, the murderer, Little Toe carried the taint.
And through him, so do I. And our children.
Gray Needle turned her attention to the men who walked several dart casts ahead of the main body of the clan. They hastened on their way, shoulders slumped and heads bowed. Bone Ring, the clan leader, walked in the center of her family. They talked in subdued voices. Evil had been loosed. A person could feel it on the wind, hear its rustle among the drying grasses. Through the shadowed gray boles of the gnarled cottonwoods that grew along the Spirit River, Gray Needle could see that Little Toe stayed to the side, aloof and alone. She could tell by his posture that guilt rode him like a tick-hunting blackbird on a buffalo's back. Gray Needle turned to Squaw Apple.
It's not his fault.
Gray Needle looked to the east, where muddy yellow sandstone bluffs rose square against the sky. The wind blew hot across the basin, picking up the burning heat of the sun before it invaded the shaded river bottom.
I know. I was there.
Squaw Apple pursed thin lips under her long, thin nose.
Five Rocks, from Warm Wind Clan, was visiting at the Three Forks camp when it happened. He told me that all of the Three Forks men were there. So was Owl Clover, grousing about the way old Larkspur had humiliated her and her clan. Five Rocks said that none of them had that look, you know, like they were going to do something as vile as murder. Someone who'd do that, especially at a gathering, would be nervous, looking over his shoulder to see if anyone noticed.
They were all there?
All but a couple of the women who'd gone out visiting. Five Rocks said that Basket was so miserable, she'd gone off to be by herself. Losing that baby changed her.
Basket is Little Toe's sister. They used to be very close, sent gifts back and forth. He told me she's become a frightened wreck now, almost someone he doesn't know anymore. Someone must have heard something.
Who could hear? Tall Man tells a wonderful story. Black Hand was killed a good darts cast from camp.
Gray Needle shook her head, studying her husband through lowered eyes.
He's taking all the blame on himself, afraid he'll foul us.
Bone Ring interrupted.
He shouldn't. I know Little Toe. He's a good man. He has to be. To have angered old Green Fire the way he did. Daughter, the only good thing that's come out of Three Forks in a long time is that man of yours. I'll have a word with him. For the moment, he won't be in a mood to listen. Maybe by the time we get back to Badwater, he will be.
Gray Needle smiled her thanks, but it wouldn't be over. Not for a long time, if ever.
Murder done at the gathering. No good will come of it.
The witching talk will start again.
Bone Ring scowled at the dusty sandstone-capped bluffs to the east. She wiped at a trickle of perspiration that slid down one round cheek.
We can't afford that kind of trouble. Not with the Sun People sending parties south.
Gray Needle looked back to where her infant son rode in her niece Elderberry's pack. The girl loved the child as if it were her own. At the thought of the baby, Gray Needle's breasts began to ache with milk.
Will my child live long enough to deserve a name? And if he does, will his life be tainted by this terrible deed?
She dropped back and took her baby from Elderberry. As the child nursed, Gray Needle listened.
The other camps will help drive the Sun People off if they come.
They will, but they don't start accusing each other of witching. Nothing tears the people apart like talk of witching. It'll ruin us. Oh, protection from the Sun People. Well, at least we got that promise at the gathering.
Squaw Apple wiped at the sweat trickling out of her hair and looked longingly at the cool water of the Spirit River to their left.
I don't like it. I feel as if the world has turned. Power will be offended. You don't have a murder at a gathering without offending power.
You've been hanging around wolf people for too long.
Gray Needle shifted her son to the other breast.
Power is power. We keep the spirits happy, but I can't call the wolf people fools for what they believe. Fire Dancer came down out of their mountains when he led us here. I just wonder how much we've changed.
A lot, I suppose.
Bone Ring glanced back to make sure that everyone, especially the children, was following. Children tended to lag on a day as hot as this.
And that's another thing. We haven't seen anything of the wolf people. Someone should have been down. I know they just had Blessing, but some of the traders would have left early to make the gathering.
It's not like them.
Squaw Apple looked around nervously.
I've just got a bad feeling.
Oh, no wonder. A murder happened at the gathering. I can tell you this. We'll walk a long day's journey around that place from now on. If Three Forks feared witching before this, they'll be crawling with fear now, knowing they're the closest camp to Black Hand's angry spirit.
A sense of wrongness tightened in Grey Needle's gut.
Maybe we should call the men back. I'd feel better.
Nerves, girl.
Bone Ring glanced around uneasily. The land had gone unusually quiet.
And I share them.
The men had walked out of the trees, climbed up a low terrace truncated by the Spirit River. Heat shimmered on the tan ground, making their images hazy.
The people will pay for this gathering, I tell you. We've brought some sort of disaster down on us.
2 more days and we'll be home.
Squaw Apple pointed toward the sideways mountains, rising in a silvered, wavering mirage ahead of them.
Maybe we should call Singing Stones down to sing spirit protection around our camp.
Good idea, child. If anyone can ward off evil, it's Singing Stones.
They had reached the bottom of the terrace. Grey Needle started up, following the dimpled tracks of the men. The sun beat down mercilessly now that they'd left the protection of the cottonwoods. Sweat raised a sheen on Grey Needle's bare arms and trickled down her neck. From the top of the terrace, they would be able to see Badwater and could follow it to the clan shelters. Fortunately, most of the trip would be made in the cottonwood-shaded floodplain. Grey Needle reached the top and waited for Bone Ring. 2 weathered knobs of sandstone protruded from the cobble-strewn top of the terrace. The men had already passed through the narrow gap between them. The premonition of trouble grew, almost suffocating Grey Needle as she stared across the dusty white clay.
Fool, it's the heat. Black Hand's spirit is weighing on you. You're worried, that's all. It's just the talk of witches that's eating you.
As the rest of the women reached the top, she started forward.
When we catch sight of the men, let's call for them to wait.
Grey Needle's fear began to turn into panic.
I was going to suggest the same thing.
Heat rolled off the deflated cobbles, burning through the bottoms of Grey Needle's moccasins. She followed the trail between the sandstone knobs, winding through the chest-high boulders that littered this end of the terrace. She made it to the slope that dropped down to the floodplain before she saw Squaw Apple's husband, Half Moon. He lay on his face, his body sprawled up the slope. The ambush had been laid cunningly. Grey Needle whirled to run, but a man sprang out from behind one of the rocks. He wore oddly tailored hide clothing, the hunting coat hanging down to mid-thigh. Strange figures had been tattooed into his face, and he wore his shining black hair in a high roach. Powerful hands seized her. Burdened by her child, she tried to fight back. Warriors seemed to appear from the very rocks as her captor dragged her, kicking and screaming, to the ground. Another of the hideous warriors ripped her child away from her. He held the infant up.
Let me go!
Wolfish eyes stared into hers. He jerked her arms behind her and bound them with sinew thongs. Dragging her to her feet and pointing her down the slope, he ordered her to move forward. Fear pumped bright through Grey Needle's charged veins. Squaw Apple and a whimpering elderberry were being driven along by other warriors.
Who are you? What are you doing?
Then she saw Little Toe. He lay farther down the slope where he'd fallen into the sage. 2 long war darts protruded from his body. Her legs collapsed under her. The warrior kicked her. Another of the warriors stood aloofly to the side. He watched through impassive eyes, darts grounded before him. 5 black circles had been tattooed into the dark skin of his forehead.
We are sun people. These warriors are Black Point. You belong to this man. He is Fire Rabbit.
For a moment, disbelief overwhelmed her grief.
No!
Then tears broke free to run down her face. No warrior would run to warn the Earth people. White Ash concentrated on relaxing. She sat, legs crossed, on a pile of soft hides in Singing Stone's shelter. She kept her eyes closed. Within, she could feel the blood pumping in her veins. The beat of her heart and the expansion and contraction of her lungs became eternal. She turned inward until even those sensations were left behind. The radiance of the wolf bundle hovered in the nothingness nearby, its power twining around her. She resisted the urge to surrender to it and turned inside, away from the direction the wolf bundle might have taken her. Must it always hover at the edge of her awareness, a constant distraction? She let go of herself and used all of her willpower to blank her thoughts. When she'd filled herself with nothingness, she began to peel away the layers of herself. A drifting feeling, as if she were falling, began to possess her. The feathery touch of the One closed around her like blue smoke on a misty morning. Her body moved with it, seeming to float on waves. A voice drifted out of the One.
Seek. Seek.
Where are you?
The image broke, awareness of the One shredding as she returned to her body. White Ash blinked and glanced dazedly around.
Oh, I can't do it. I get so close, and that's as far as I can go.
You try too hard.
Singing Stone sat naked to the waist on his robes in the rear of the shelter. On the wall, the spiral caught the flickering firelight. Shadows danced on the soot-stained rock and played over the bundles hung from their pegs. White Ash lowered her head. Pain nagged her cramped legs.
I felt it. And I think I heard the voice of First Man. It seems like the closer I get, the farther away the One is.
Singing Stones touched the tips of his fingers together, ancient eyes knowing.
You will find the way.
White Ash straightened her legs as they tingled in agony. He always said that, but this time the words came too close on the heels of her failure.
When? How much time is left? I have to dream.
She rubbed her legs.
Maybe I'm not the One.
The lines in Singing Stone's face deepened.
If you believe that, you will never find the way. Only belief and denial of yourself will bring you to the One.
Belief? Denial? Words, Singing Stones, just words.
Stillwater turned, asleep in his robes. His old, battered pack, the one that held the wolf bundle, lay at the head of his bed. He rubbed a knotted fist into his eyes. He fixed White Ash with a pained stare.
It's begun.
White Ash shot him a withering look.
What?
Stillwater sat up.
Sun people are in the wind basin. I dreamed. Flew with the wolf bundle. I saw people being killed. Women taken captive.
But Brave Man wouldn't be there. Not that quickly.
I didn't see him. But the last time I had a dream like this, it happened. Just like the dream. I saw the camp that Brave Man killed. I saw the dancers that night around the fire. I saw him, you. I saw it.
White Ash shifted her attention to Singing Stones. The old man sat immobile.
Power waits for no man. Not even for a dreamer.
White Ash cringed. Brave Man? In the Wind Basin?
What about our people? We have to do something. We can't just let the Sun people...
You can do nothing. Unless you want to go down and die with the rest of them.
Stillwater ground his jaws and thumped his fist into the robes.
What's happening? Why? What's the purpose of so much war and dying and pain?
Singing Stones looked up at the magpie. The bird sat on its perch, its head stuffed under one wing.
A new way has come to the spiral. Power cares nothing for human suffering. Only First Man dreams to keep the spiral in balance. He is the link between people and the spirit world. It is up to White Ash to dream a new way for the Sun People. Only through the dream can the Sun People be made to understand.
The dream, it always comes back to the dream, and me. Maybe I can dream only when power comes to me, maybe only when...
That's because you are caught in the web of your own illusion.
That's just it. Maybe I can't let go of being me.
You try too hard.
Wonderful. I try too hard. What else can I do? Cease to try and let everything fall to Brave Man? Maybe no one who's awake ever touches the One. Maybe it's your own illusion that you experience.
As soon as the sharp words left her mouth, she regretted them. Frustration pulled its knot tight in her breast. She'd given her heart and soul to following the old man's instructions. For almost a moon now, she'd reached the edge of that feathery touch, experienced the falling sensation, and each time the feeling of the One evaporated just as she struggled to cross that last threshold and fall into the gray mist.
What's the matter with me? Maybe I'm not the hero they think I am. It's too much to ask a human to do.
She turned eyes of regret to Singing Stones.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
The old man nodded, the barest movement of his head.
I know the feeling that possesses you. Like an infant who can stand, you can't take the first step without tottering and falling.
White Ash fingered the hem of her elk-hide shirt.
I'm not sure you can walk either, old one.
Singing Stones narrowed his eyes as if reading her thoughts.
The One is all around.
He gestured at the rock above and then to the floor and walls.
Yet you remain blinded to it. You are striving to overcome an entire lifetime of illusion. Now your thoughts are telling you it can't be done. As long as you listen to yourself, you will fail.
She bit her lip.
I have only your word and the knowledge that once you sat in the middle of an elk herd. That could be explained away. Maybe it was a trick of the wind. He fed them or something.
Still Water watched them warily and pulled at his bedding with anxious fingers. The lines on Singing Stone's face rearranged into a thoughtful pattern.
Would it help if you saw illusion overcome? The seeds of doubt have been planted in your mind. Will you feed them with illusion until they sprout and grow?
See illusion overcome?
Singing Stones glanced at Stillwater, then gave White Ash a benign look.
I feel the struggle in your soul. Driven by desperation, you can never experience the One, never dream. Desperation is an illusion. Ignore it.
White Ash clenched her fists hard enough to drive nails into her palms.
Ignore it! With Brave Man and his twisted sense of power running loose, you've had visions of the future he will dream. You've heard Stillwater describe his visions. How can we ignore the fact that Brave Man is going to separate people from the One? He's going to dream a terrible way to live.
You must ignore it. It is the only way. But in that direction lies the trap I fell into. You must do what I failed to. You must dream the One and deny its lure. Otherwise, you will be like Singing Stones, a moth drawn to the flickering light of the fire, unable to resist the flames.
You expect me, who can't even touch the One, to do what you failed to do?
White Ash stared angrily at the soot-encrusted rocks overhead. A swirl of sparks rose and flickered into nothingness.
If I showed you, would you cleanse the anger and worry from your soul? Would you trust me?
Show me.
Singing Stones closed his eyes, centering himself as he'd taught White Ash to do. Back stiff, he sat before the fire. His timeless face relaxed. White Ash's skin prickled, and she shot a nervous glance at Stillwater, who watched with wide eyes. Power built, and White Ash forgot her anger and frustration. She swayed with the rhythm of the chant. Like dancing smoke, the chant surged and flowed through the static-charged air. She sensed Singing Stones calling on the power of the wolf bundle.
She shivered when it wrapped the old man in its strength. Singing Stones opened his eyes, the look vacant, as if he were no longer within his body. Absently, the old man offered his hands to the light. He bent forward, reeling slightly, and reached into the fire. Face raised to the rock overhead, he lifted coals from the hearth, chanting to them. Lifting them to his lips, he kissed them and took them into his mouth. Long moments later, he plucked them out and rubbed them along his bare arms and over his sunken chest. White Ash stared in disbelief and awe. No blisters rose on the old man's skin. No welts marred his lips. Nor did he react as the burning coals ran along his skin. Singing Stones returned the embers to the fire. The flames crackled up, casting a brighter light through the shelter. He turned his head slowly to look at White Ash with empty eyes.
You don't burn.
The fire is illusion. He's dreaming the warmth.
Yes, the flesh is illusion. Only the one hears.
Singing Stone stared sightlessly at her and grasped a bone awl from the things beside him. The polished awl glistened in the firelight. Singing Stones ran it through the withered flesh of his arm. No hint of pain marred his expression as the skin rose under the sharpened point and went taut before the keen tip broke through. The old dreamer reached around to grasp the long bone awl with his bony fingers and pull it through his arm. His flesh showed no wound. Blood should have stained his skin and the sharpened bone shaft.
How?
The bone is illusion. Only the one is real.
The shelter began to throb with power. White Ash placed palms to her ears, seeking to shield herself from the onslaught. Desperately, she fought to drive the wolf bundle's presence from her soul, to keep secure the essence of herself. Suddenly, the air went still.
Don't fight us, Mother of the People. Through us you can dream the One. Only your strength will save First Man's dream. Only your courage can dream the spiral. That which is within you will be the bridge between peoples. We are old in the manner of men. We live in this world and dance the spiral. We dream the One. We sing with the Wolf Dreamer. Where we danced with Fire Dancer, so will we dream the new way with you.
Who are you?
Will you fail us, Mother of People? Do you have within you what not even the Wolf Dreamer would attempt? Yours is the strongest spirit we could find. You are the hope of the spiral. We have placed our hope in you. You are the One. There is no time to seek another.
Who are you?
All that is and is not. We are the One and the Many. Dream, Mother of the People. The time is soon. We are the power. You are the hope. We will show you the way to the One.
But I...
Singing Stones toppled backward onto his robes. White Ash could feel the power of the wolf bundle ebb into nothingness. Immediately, the magpie shot through a hole in the hangings and disappeared into the blackness beyond. For several heartbeats, White Ash sat frozen. Then she sprang to the old man's side. Stillwater knelt next to her and lifted Singing Stone's head so the old man could breathe more easily. The fire had died down to low smoldering coals, and in the dim light, she met Stillwater's awestruck eyes. Singing Stone started. He blinked his eyes and shook his head weakly.
No.
He looked up in horror at White Ash.
Don't let it happen.
What?
Don't let the witch hate her murder you too.
Murder?
Color drained from Stillwater's face.
Fading. The vision is fading.
Who is murdering who? What's happening?
Killing dreamers. Kills the mother of the...
Singing Stones? What's wrong? Are you all right?
The old man smiled serenely.
Falling
into the one, dreaming. The wolf bundle is calling, cold and light all around, floating. Wolf bundle, I hear you coming.
Singing stones!
His eyes seemed to clear for a moment, and he looked up at her, wonder in his withered face.
I had to warn you. I never knew the power of the wolf bundle. Shouldn't have called on its power. Oh, beware, Mother of the...
Singing stones?
His eyes dimmed. The old man's body relaxed, sagging in Stillwater's arms. White Ash placed her ear above the wise man's heart. Silence. She raised herself, desperation filling her. Stillwater already knew. He reached for wood and dropped several pieces on the smoldering embers. As the flames crackled up again, he stared uneasily at the spiral painted on the back of the shelter. The curls of red glowed in an eerie manner.
How do I find the way now? How, Stillwater?
He tried to mask his misery.
I don't know.
Then his face blanched, and he turned to stare at the pack that held the wolf bundle. Her belly muscles knotted and cramped.
No, it just killed Singing Stones. And he was skilled, powerful. Myself, I can't even...
We are the way.
The rough surface of the heavy stone he carried ate into Stillwater's fingers as he climbed the loose soil at the bottom of the cliff. He paused to study Singing Stone's last resting place, a narrow fissure in the sandstone wall of the canyon. He and White Ash had nearly finished rocking up the niche. Now he fit his stone into place. White Ash reached to seal the burial with a final stone. Stillwater turned and looked out over the canyon.
He'll like it here. The view is wonderful. Look, you can see an eagle flying over the pines down there.
Beyond the far ridge, the wind basin lay sere in the scorching midsummer sun. A band of mountain sheep leaped nimbly among the buff-colored rocks and kept a careful eye on them. White Ash bit her lip and looked up at the cloud-patched dome of the sky.
This is where he wanted to be. He's with the one now.
Stillwater found a place to sit on one of the grainy slabs of sandstone. He braced his legs and rubbed the back of his sweaty neck before glancing up the slope at the burial.
There was so much I wanted to ask him.
A hollow look had come to White Ash's eyes.
I know.
She stood beside his slab and placed a hand on his shoulder. Wistfully, Stillwater reached up and clasped her hand, enjoying the warmth of her touch. Images of the dream played through his mind. His people had come to the end of their time. Like Singing Stones, they too would be dead soon, passed from the earth. He and White Ash had so little time to act, and the stakes grew with each beat of the heart.
What do we do now, Stillwater?
He leaned his head against her hip, lost in memories of the lodge at Round Rock. Warm Fire's voice rose and fell as he told some story that drew laughter from Bitterbrush and Cattail. There would be no more nights like that among the Earth people.
We seek the dream. That's all we can do. It's up to us now.
He held the coals and they didn't burn. He pierced his flesh and it left no wound. We both saw that.
And it wasn't his voice that spoke to us. You could feel the power. It was the wolf bundle. And more.
He looked over at his pack.
It killed him. What are we involved with?
Power. The spiral. Things I don't understand.
And murder? Who is killing dreamers? Brave Man? I know that he killed Old Falcon.
I don't know. Could Brave Man send some power through the wolf bundle to kill Singing Stones?
I'll never touch it to find out. Maybe we should leave it with Singing Stones.
I don't think so. That doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? I know its power. The bundle isn't evil.
Ask Left Hand what he thinks. I say we should rock it up with Singing Stones.
Power. That's the thing we have to understand. Singing Stones said power is everywhere, but it doesn't interfere with the things of this world. Healers like Black Hand use power, direct it, change it. Witches use it for different things. No, it's not the bundle. Burying it with Singing Stones would be a mistake.
It killed him!
Did it?
He lifted his head to look at her.
Or did he fall into it and refuse to come out? Remember, he said it was calling. Maybe he didn't have the strength to refuse the call.
Strength?
She settled on the slab next to him. The lonely fear on her face unnerved him.
The voices asked if I was strong enough.
Stillwater put his arm around her.
Among the round rock, I made dart shafts. When you plan a dart shaft, you have to find the best piece of wood. First, you strip the bark off and look at the grain. See if the spirit in the wood might work. Then you heat it, steam it, straighten the bends and curves. When that's done, you use a scraper to smooth it. You mix a bit of your soul with it and heat it over the fire to toughen the spirit of the wood. Then you make the final carving.
Does this have a point?
Are you a dart shaft, White Ash?
I'm a woman.
I'm well aware of that. I was speaking in terms of power.
What do you mean?
Power crafts its own tools.
He hugged her close, reassured by the feel of her body against his.
Think about everything that's happened to you. Sage Ghost stole you from Three Forks and trained you in the ways of the Sun People. You've told me he did that as a promise to power. Maybe that was selecting the raw wood. Maybe learning the ways of the Sun People was like stripping the bark and straightening the bends. From then on, everything that happened was the firing process, the strengthening of the wood. You're the strongest person I know. You've been beaten, raped, tried for strength, and you've passed all the tests.
White Ash looked out over the basin as wind played with strands of her long black hair.
Everything happens because of me.
Power has its dart shaft. Now only the final crafting is needed.
And the craftsman is dead.
Perhaps. A dart shaft is only one part of the whole. Perhaps Singing Stones attached the fletching. That still leaves the stone point, the binding.
But what do we do now? Where do we go?
Stillwater sniffed the warm air, filling his nostrils with the scent of brush and warm earth.
I think the best thing is to stay here. We have Singing Stone shelter. The storage pits have food enough. The Star Wheel is up on the ridgetop.
But what about all those people down there? Maybe we could...
What? Go down and die with them the way Singing Stone said? If everything that happens to us happens for a reason, we'll know when to go down. Power will tell us. The Black Wolf will come, or the bundle will dream with us. We're not ready yet. Perhaps you'll find the way to power in the meantime.
We could still leave. Travel by night the way we did when we escaped from the Broken Stones. Go south. Live like we wanted to.
Could we?
She hesitated for a moment, mouth tight, lines around her hard eyes.
No, I guess not. As the seasons passed, we'd never forgive ourselves, would we?
Stillwater took a last look at Singing Stone's burial place and stood. Reaching for his pack, he willed assurance into his smile.
Come on. Let's go see if we can learn to dream together.
Her brave smile didn't hide the fact that her heart was breaking. Bitterbrush leaned all her weight on her fire-hardened digging stick and drove it into the ground. She worked at the edge of a lumpy series of dunes where the sandy soil held water late into the year. She pulled back, levering the soil up to snap the roots, grabbed the scurf pea plant and pulled it free. Then she whacked the roots on the digging stick to break the soil loose. Dropping the rich plant into her pack, she moved on to the next. Scurf pea had grown well this season. Scurf pea was a favorite of the people. The seeds were ready to drop, and a delightful tea could be made from them. The rest of the plant, including the roots, made wonderful eating. She looked around. Here and there among the dunes, other members of the clan were at work, harvesting the rich abundance of plants. They had camped a short walk to the east, on a terrace overlooking a seep. Round Rock Camp lay a day's walk beyond that. There, Larkspur watched over the children with Tuber's help. Bitterbrush peered at the gentle northern horizon that belied the sheer drop-off of the gray wall. A green band of willows obscured the course of the Coldwater River. She levered another plant from the soil and placed it atop the others in her sack, pressing it down. Time to take her bulging pack back to camp. She slung it over her shoulder and set out. Bitterbrush tried to understand everything that had happened to her as she picked her way through the knee-high sage. No one said much anymore. A spark had gone from the clan, snuffed by Black Hand's murder. In the days since the tragedy at the gathering, she'd come to accept that she would live the rest of her life alone. What man would want a woman associated with murder, even if she would inherit an entire camp someday? So much heartache for everyone. Only Tuber seemed unaffected by the horror that had befallen them. The gleam of challenge had even died in Larkspur's eyes. Something had changed. Their camp had been placed in a sheltered spot eroded out of the terrace. A seep rose at the back of the pocket and trickled through rich grasses to drain into the Coldwater, a short walk to the north. She picked her way down the embankment and walked into the camp before dropping her burden. She stretched to ease the kink in her back and stepped over to stir the smoldering fire. Hide shelters had been placed around the fire in a half circle. She passed between limber cones and pretty woman's before kneeling at the seep. Cattail had hollowed out a basin in the bright green moss to hold water. She drank her fill of the cool water, then seated herself in the thick grass to rest. If she drank until she burst, she could never fill the aching emptiness inside. Black Hand had at least been an ardent lover. He'd smiled at her and held her. Not a substitute for warm fire, but at least she hadn't been alone in her robes.
We'll miss that. There's no one to talk to. Even Bad Belly would be a relief.
Her gaze strayed to the north. Had tragedy befallen Bad Belly, too?
You have me to talk to.
Bitterbrush scrambled to her feet. A lone warrior stood behind her. The cut of his clothing differed from anything she had ever seen before. A long fringed hunting shirt hung down to mid-thigh, and the long fringes on his leggings swayed with the air. He looked like the most powerful man she'd ever seen, and long deadly darts hung from one hand. Five black circles had been tattooed into his high forehead.
You look like a good woman. Strong body.
Heart pounding, she gaped.
Who are you?
He smiled grimly.
I am Sage Ghost. Walk back to your camp.
He pointed with his darts.
Don't run. I'm faster than you.
Bitterbrush shook her head and knotted a fist at her breast. A scream choked in her throat.
The others are taken by now. Your men are dead. There's no point in trying to escape. The power of the Earth people has fled.
Too shocked to think, she stumbled toward the lodges, glancing fearfully at him as he followed. Once in the camp, she stopped.
The others... dead?
He used one of the long darts to lift the door flaps on each of the lodges, peering cautiously to see what was inside. Only then did he turn to face her.
We keep only the strong young women and children. Blackpoint have hunted you all day. Your people belong to the Blackpoint now. All but you. I keep you. You are now white clay, like me.
She turned to run, but his hard hand caught her. He pulled her around, and she got a close look at him. Several gray hairs threaded through his long braids. Deep lines traced his face, and she could sense the sadness in his brown eyes.
How do you talk our language?
Stolen Earth People girl once. She taught me. And since we came to the Wind Basin, I've been getting lots of practice. Now you will learn the talk of the Sun People.
Oh!
Bitterbrush's legs buckled under her, and he let her down. He glanced at her pack, lying near his feet.
Now you pick plants for Sage Ghost.
Others will come.
The Earth people will fight back.
He squatted on his heels, the darts cradled in his lap.
I don't think they will. Their power is gone. We hunt Earth people before they can hunt us. Kill the men and old women. No word is carried to other camps by the dead. The young women we take, and they work for the Black Point now.
He squinted up at the sun.
It's a new way. Sun people way.
Never.
He lifted an amused eyebrow.
I think forever. Now you're my woman. Sage Ghost isn't a bad man. I won't beat you unless you disobey. It's been a long time since Sage Ghost had a woman to care for him. I watched you digging plants. You're old enough to have sense, but still pretty. Your body is strong. I followed, listened to the sadness in your voice. You don't have a man either. Perhaps this is good for both of us.
She nodded, numbly. Where were the others? Did this man truly have companions? Or would Cattail appear and drive him off? Sage Ghost cocked his head, glancing at her from the corner of his eye.
The Black Point will come soon. You fix these plants. Feed us.
Larkspur sat under the sunshade at Round Rock Camp. In the trampled area between the sun-bathed earthen lodges, the children laughed and shouted and ran around in circles. Lupin carried the sage wand in her little brown fist. She had to touch one of the others with it. When that happened, the child touched would take the sage wand and chase the others until another was touched and the wand thus passed on. In the lengthening shadow of Bitterbrush's lodge, Tuber watched the young children with resentful eyes, his heart longing to be out gathering roots, no doubt. The very way he sat irritated Larkspur. Something had changed in the world. She could almost reach up with her thin fingers and feel the difference in the air. Power had been offended in some devastating way. In her very soul, she could tell it. Despite the depth of the summer, the spirit of the earth held its dusty breath. Stillness lay on the sage.
Oh, Blackhand, what has gone wrong?
She drifted beyond the realm of the present to the warm days of the past. She could see him again, strong, muscular, and handsome as he laughed with her.
Grandmother!
Tuber had risen to his feet like an uneasy panther. Curse it, why did the boy have to be so ill-behaved? She could see his anger smoldering, ready to burst loose, although he'd been remarkably civil in the days since Black Hand's death. Then the ugly mood had settled on him again.
Have to marry him off as soon as possible. The boy's like a boil. If he stays around, he'll just fester more. What do you want, Tuber?
I think something's wrong. That old red bitch was sniffing the wind and growling. She had her hair up and went out into the sage. Then she just went quiet. Funny quiet.
What are you bothering me with?
At the chiding tone in her voice, his expression soured.
Didn't you hear her barking?
Dogs bark, boy. Go on now, tend the fires. We need more firewood. Go pull some. Be useful for once.
He stiffened, the corners of his lips twitching. She tensed in response.
Pull firewood. They left me here to help you with the children. What am I? Some sort of pack beast? Maybe Bad Belly was the smart one.
A white shaft of anger flared in her soul. She stabbed a crooked finger at him.
Boy, you better listen and hear good. You've been half crazy since Warmfire died. Now leave be. You mind yourself, or I'll have Cattail.
She stopped, appalled. Tuber, eyes gleaming, had taken a step toward her, trembling fingers rising toward her throat. For that brief instant, her eyes locked with his, and she read black violence, barely throttled.
Tuber, don't!
Her words fell on empty air. The boy had sprinted away through the lodges.
I'd be rid of his foul soul in a second if I could manage it.
As soon as she'd said them, she wished she could withdraw the words. Anxiously, she glanced around at the weathered granite that bordered the suddenly silent camp. The shadows cast by the lodges had stretched their humped shapes over the beaten clay. All the children were watching her with solemn eyes. The breath penned in her frail chest exploded, and she waved her arms at them.
Well, go on! Get back and play now!
But the sage wand game had died. The children squatted in a little knot and talked. The old black dog, Yellowtooth, jerked awake, lifting his nose to scent the breeze.
Here! Shut up!
Larkspur pushed to her feet and reached for her digging stick. The rest of the dogs woke and charged through the village in the direction Tuber had taken, then veering out into the sage.
Oh, so help me. If that cursed boy is playing some game with a bear hide, I'll... Fool boy's got no right to take his anger out on dogs. If he's laid a club to old Yellowtooth, I'll have Cattail twist his neck off his shoulders. Tuber! Is that you?
Oh!
Fear clutched at Larkspur's heart.
You children! Get inside!
They sat frozen, faces panicked.
Now!
Little bodies scuttled for the lodge flap. Larkspur swallowed, throat constricted, and tottered forward.
Tuber! That you? Are you pulling some sort of prank?
A brown bitch dragged herself around the corner of the lodge, a blood-streaked dart transfixing her limp hindquarters. The animal collapsed in a bloody heap. Two tattooed warriors rounded the lodge. They carried a struggling Tuber in their arms. Larkspur turned to run, only to see more of the warriors rushing in from every direction. For an instant, she stood paralyzed. They closed around her, long war clubs dangling from powerful fists. Her wits returned, along with the old arrogance.
Get out of my camp!
As anger buoyed her, she charged forward on her aching legs, brandishing her digging stick. Larkspur turned at the laughter behind her.
What?
Windrunner looked the boy up and down. The youth appeared older than the 14 summers his mother claimed. His shoulders had already filled out. No expression crossed the boy's flinty face. Nevertheless, in another couple of summers, the young women would look twice at him. Windrunner considered, studying the buff-colored earthen lodges. In the twilight, the rounded caps of granite that rose behind the camp gleamed against the sky like the piled skulls of curious dream beasts. As it slid lower toward the western horizon, the dying sun cast a red tinge over the land. He shot Sage Ghost a measuring look.
You want to keep the boy?
Sage Ghost nodded.
He's strong. He belongs to the woman I took. Look at him. He'll make a good warrior. I never had a boy to teach. Only daughters, and this woman has a daughter, too.
Yes, she does. A daughter young enough to learn the ways of the Blackpoint and not bear us ill will. Uncle, if you keep this boy, I fear we'll find you one of these days with a dart stuck through your tough hide.
I have asked the boy. He says he would become Blackpoint.
Windrunner stepped up to the youth, searching his eyes.
Have him tell me.
Tell him, son.
The boy nodded, an odd festering in his hard black eyes.
I would be a warrior.
Or you'll be dead, and you know it.
Windrunner glanced at Sage Ghost again.
Uncle, how much of this is your own soul's pain? Is that what you're doing, trying to replace the loss of White Ash? You'll watch him?
I'll watch him.
Sage Ghost made a sign with his hand that indicated it would be as he said.
Then let him stay. We'll see how he fares, but make sure he knows that every eye will be on him.
Sage Ghost turned to the boy and pointed. The youth nodded and walked off toward the earthen shelter that Sage Ghost had claimed. The boy's mother, a tall, handsome woman, standing there, hugged him. Windrunner massaged the back of his neck.
I hope you know what you're doing.
Sage Ghost gave him a wry grin.
So do I.
Sage Ghost looked up at the sunset.
She won't be Bright Moon, but she keeps my robes warm. For having a son that old, she's still strong. I suppose I can cherish a memory for only so long.
And you're one of us, yet apart.
Something like that. Nephew, I thank you for sharing your lodge with me, but the time has come to keep my own again. Old habits die hard, but more than that, living with you makes me feel like an old man. I'm not ready for that yet.
You'll find out just how old you really are if you plant another child in her.
Windrunner looked at the woman again. She gazed at her son through hollow eyes. He could see the swell of her breasts against the leather of her soft hide dress. No wonder Sage Ghost had chosen this one.
Well, go teach your family how to talk like humans.
And more.
Sage Ghost headed for the lodge. Windrunner stared at the trampled ground beneath his feet.
How long can a man live with the past as his only companion? White Ash, are you alive?
Lost in your thoughts again?
He turned to see Aspen behind him.
I didn't hear you.
You'd be surprised. Over the years, I've learned to pay attention to where I put my feet. Sage Ghost pled for the boy?
I let him keep him. But it worries me. The boy knows what happened to the rest of his family. Will he turn against us?
Come, eat something. Worry won't do you any good now. What will be, will be. Who knows? Perhaps Sage Ghost will make him a warrior.
Aspen led him to a fire pit that glowed red near a sagebrush sunshade. Her dress hugged the curves of her hips and molded to her slim waist. She moved with a delicate poise that complemented her keen mind. Windrunner settled himself on a robe that lay on the ground and watched as Aspen levered a roast from the fire. With a chert knife, she sliced long, rich lengths of meat and piled them in a buffalo horn dish, then passed it over to him with balanced grace. As he reached for the bowl, their eyes met and held. He forced his gaze away and tried to turn his thoughts from the way her soul touched his. Similar fires smoked where the people in his band camped around Round Rock. For the most part, Sun People chose not to use the earthen shelters. Like him, they found them confining, stifling. Windrunner tasted the meat. Antelope, sweet, delicate. The hunters who'd killed it had done a good job. Antelope had to be killed quickly and surely. If they ran wounded or with a punctured gut, the meat took on a strong flavor. He chewed thoughtfully.
How are the women doing?
Aspen loaded a bowl of her own before replying.
You were right. This is a rich land. Since we captured the camp 3 days ago, we've dug new caches in the earth lodges and filled them with enough dried plants to last for weeks. Talking with the captives is still difficult. But they do as we say. What choice do they have? The last ones who tried to run away are feeding coyotes.
Disobedience is fading?
Better to live and work than leave your bones to rot. They are beginning to understand what has happened to them. Given the choice, they'll work. They still grieve for their men, but there are worse fates than having a strange man crawl on top of you in the middle of the night. The men heed your rule. They don't strike the women unless they fight.
I don't understand. These people act as if their spirits are broken, as if they were defeated before we arrived.
Perhaps their power has fled. Sage Ghost says that they kept talking about the gathering and some terrible thing that happened there. Maybe that's what makes them so tame. Me? I'd fight and fight until I killed my captor. Or he killed me.
Maybe that's why we're here. To bring new power to the land.
Power. The mention of it always led his thoughts to White Ash. Would she be this easy to talk to? White Ash had been preoccupied with her dreams, but Aspen turned her quick mind to the world and shared the problems he faced. She glanced thoughtfully at him, a sadness in her large eyes.
She wasn't at Three Forks.
Melancholy settled around Windrunner's heart.
No, she wasn't.
I'm sorry, Windrunner. I had hoped you'd find her before this.
Did she have to be so honest with him? She knew he watched her, knew the direction of his thoughts. Yet not once had resentment for White Ash possessed her. She'd shown only that knowing understanding, and that made his confused affection for her all the stronger. How many nights had he and Aspen talked away? How many hours had they spent making plans and honing them before offering them to the council? Through her, Windrunner received Hot Fat's full support in council. But what of White Ash? Yes, he still loved her, But night after night, a consuming passion led him to Hot Fat's lodge, simply to talk to Aspen. He swallowed another bite of meat and gestured at the surrounding land.
We've taken all the camps to the north of Round Rock. Badwater, Warm Wind, Poison Creek, Red Rock, and all the rest. Sage Ghost has asked for her in all of the camps. Talk to all the captives. None of them knows of White Ash.
Sage Ghost has made his peace with the past.
The words pained him with their truth.
I know.
She stood up and took his hand.
Walk with me.
He let her lead him past the fires.